So we're looking at Reish Chaf Gimel. Yes, we have it. And again, this goes on and on for many, many pages. I'm interested mostly in an amazing chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik with regard to Hechsher Kelim LePesach, which you'll see on Reish Chaf Hey. But I think in order to get to that, we first have to sort of break new ground. Now, a lot of the laws of kelim depend upon what the material of the kelim is. In other words, let's say a kli was bolea isur, or in some cases, even if the kli was bolea heter, but then you mix that heter with another heter, it becomes also like a basa machala. What was the material of the kli? Now, the root of this distinction between one material and the other is actually in Masechta Zvachim and codified by the Rambam in Hilchos Maisa Karbonos. And this has to do with using a clay shares for a karbon. Now what happens is that the kli itself, once you cook it a karbon, we'll talk about chatos, we can talk about shlomim, and we'll get into the different dinim, then the kli is bolea, the time of chatos. Which means that if you would use the kli now for your own purposes, for chulin, then that kli would be maflit, a tam of kachim. Alternatively, even if you want to use the kli for other kachim, then the tam now becomes what's called nosar. Because after the allotted time for the achila of the chatos, which is only necha l'kohanim, but after that time period, the chatos itself becomes nosar, and that's an isur kares. Now, if the kli is made of metal, that's a halbitzar. Why? Because there are ways of being machshered. We'll call it hagola. Later on we'll talk about libud. But if on the other hand it's a kli cheres, which is made of pottery or earthenware, then it's porous, and it's bolea in such a way that it can't be maflit. And that's going to be the famous principle which is codified by the Gemara in Zvachim called kli cheres ein yotze min dafyo li olam. And all you can do with this kli is break it, just shvira, and then you can take its pieces and put it back into the furnace, and once again recreate the kli, but then it's a brand new kli. The old kli is completely gone. Now the Rambam says something which incurs the wrath of the Ravid. It's not the first time, it won't be the last time the Rambam did that. But in this case, the Ravid is, Lechora, is 100% correct. The Rambam writes the following, Perek Ches Milchus Maisa Karbonos, Kli, Kli Cheres, Shenisbashel Bo Chatos, and then the Rambam adds the word Necheles. Right, keep that in suspension for a moment. Is Tod Shvira Bazorah. Now again, the fact that the Shvira of the Kli Cheres has to take place in the Azora, what does that sound like to you? Are we dealing simply with Dinei Blias Iser, or there's some mitzvah element involved over here? You know, whenever the Rambam tells you that this has to be done in the Azara, you know, you're talking about mitzvahs kodshim. Like, for example, you know, Zrikas Adam, or Holachas Adam, you know, all these dinim that require that the dam remains in the Azara. Then the Rambam says, in contrast, the Kli Matechas, if it's made of metal, but it's Bashlebo, then the Rambam says you have a much easier way of reusing the kli through the process of heksher, which is called marika ushtifa. Marika means correct, and marika means to put it into hot water, and then you take it out of the hot water and you rinse it off in cold water. Again, the Rambam adds the following condition: it has to take place in the azara. So the marika ushtifa will take place in the azara. Now the Rambam so far has limited his discussion to chatos. Now the Rambam says the following: V'lo chatos bilvad, not only a kli that was designated for a karban chatos, el kol akelim shemishtam shemem bekodshim al yidei chamin, any kli that's used for any kodshim in a hot situation, meaning for cooking purposes, right? Because let's say chatas is nechal lekohenim, you're not going to eat raw meat, you have to cook up the meat, or let's say you have shlomim, which is kachim kalim, and it can be nechal even with Yisrael, so you're going to cook it up in a pot. Says the Rambam that any kli that's used for any kachim, bein kachim kachim and kachim kalim, te'udim marika ushtifa, ekev achila. And these two words, ekev achila, are going to incur the wrath of the Raven. We'll see exactly what the Rambam means by ekev achila. Then the Rambam gives you a little bit of a clue as to what Mariko Shtifa is all about. V'yimrok v'yishtof akli, bein kli matechos, bein kli cheres. So this is also something problematic. Mm-hmm. We just finished saying that kli cheres doesn't lend itself to anything but shvira. And now the Rambam is using the Mariko Shtifa to apply even to a kli cheres, but that's only in the case of shar kachim. Let's say kachim kalim, like shlomim. Chutz min achatos, sheshomer ba kli cheres. Again, the Rambam seems to be playing a game with us. On the one hand, he allures us into a mental state in which we think that the subject of his discussion is blia, and how to get rid of the blia. On the other hand, the Rambam seems to be drawing us towards halachas of ritual law, in effect, of mitzvahs kachim. And the reason is, how do I get that impression? First of all, because the Rambam always repeats himself as far as Azara is concerned. Again, the Rav is going to make a big deal about what's called Shtifa, because Shtifa also doesn't seem to have any relevance to the Hilchas Bliya. We'll get to that later. And number two, the Rambam, when he gets to a Kli Cheres, all of a sudden he recognizes the validity of Mariku Shtifa. Now, from a Bliya perspective, what shaykhis Hechsher Kalim or Marika, which is Hagolah, in the case of a Kli Cheres? Okay, so fine, you went down from Kachim Kachim to Kachim Kalim. But that makes only a difference in terms of mitzvah's kachim. It should make no difference whatsoever in terms of getting rid of the bliya. So for example, if he wants to use this kli again, then if it's a kli cheres, he should be required to destroy the kli. He can never use it again. He has to reconstruct the whole kli. How does the Rambam say that in the case of shar kachim, let's say kachim kalim, is yimrok v'yishtof ha-kli, bein b'kli matachas u'klein b'kli cheres? But let's go back to the previous statement of the Rambam. The Rambam says that with regard to kachim in general, not chatos, is te'une mariku shtifa ekev achila. Says the Ravid, lo yadati, I don't understand, ma'u ekev achila. What do you mean ekev achila? Forget about ekev achila. Ekev achila sounds like, since you want to eat from this kli, therefore you have to subject the kli to mariko shtifa. But what about the mitzvah element over here? The mitzvah element seems to be irrelevant to ekev achila. Ekev achila seems to throw us off course, off balance over here. Therefore, says the Ravid, I will kach omru. Here you want to turn to the next side of the page if you can. Kach omru chachamim. Shemamtin kolzman achila. The hover of it, like Mariko Shtifa, meaning the mitzvah of Mariko Shtifa is generated by Nosar. So as long as you're within the allotted time of Achila, there's no mitzvah of Mariko Shtifa. Right, again, we're talking about Shar Kodshim here, but the same logic would apply to Chatus as well. So that, how could the Rambam say something about Ekev Achila? It has nothing to do with Ekev Achila. What it has to do with is what we call Zman Achila. The Ekev Achila sounds like the Rambam is sending us, well, are you going to eat from this kli? Are you going to cook something else in the kli? Forget about all that. the halacha of zman achila is not the same as ekev achila. The Rambam saw a sugya and he misunderstood the sugya. When the sugya says achila, it doesn't mean ekev achila; it means zman achila. As long as the bliya inside the kli is still mutter, right? It's not nosar. You have adarav. If it wasn't in the bliya inside the kli, you'd be eating it and fulfilling the mitzvah of kachim. So you don't require mariku shtifa. What sets off the mitzvah of mariku shtifa in kachim? Nosar. So that's kol zman achila, and after achila, then he does mariku shtifa. But the Rambam says ekev achila. What does the Rambam mean by ekev achila? But that's not the main question of the Raivin. Now we get to the real bomb kasha of the Raivin. Umasha Omer b'klicheres Tolud Mariku Shtifa, that the Rambam applies the halacha Mariku Shtifa in the case of Shar Kodshim to a klicheres Tos Hu B'yada. I mean, that's almost an understatement, Tos Hu B'yada. It's a big Tos. Behejim b'til sefta she'in Toon El Shmira. You know, the halacha of Kodshim in the case of a klicheres is Shmira. What difference does it make whether it's chatos or whether it's shlavim? Once you use the kli for kachim, now the mitzvah that sets into the kli, that grabs onto the kli, is the mitzvah of shvira in the case of what? Of a kli cheres, and in a kli matechas of mariku shtifa. How can the Rambam take the mariku shtifa of kli matechos and apply it to what? To a kli cheres. In the case of a kli cheres, the mitzvah requires shvira. And let's just enhance the Raivin's question, and we'll see how the Rav reformulates the two questions of the Raivin, and say that if you're talking about blia, then for sure, you know, the concept of mariku shtifa with regard to a kli cheres is totally out of place. How can you even entertain that possibility when a kli cheres is any yotzi v'neidof yaliola? You know, you want to talk about Shvira, so that's the mitzvah that once the time allotment passes, even in the case of Shlavim, you have to destroy the Kli Cheres. That I would have understood. But the Rambam says that in the case of Kli Cheres, all you need is Mariku Shtifa. It's Dover V'Pucho. It's like A and not A at the same time. Mariku Shtifa is something that could never apply to a Kli Cheres. So let's just see how the Rav sort of recaps or highlights the two questions of the Raivin. Chada, the Rambam holds that a kli cheres requires shmira only in the case of chatos. But if, let's say, a shlomim was used in this kli and it's a kli cheres, then all you need is mariku shtifa. The Raivin, on the other hand, says that a kli cheres always requires mariku shtifa. I'm sorry. Always requires shvira, I meant to say. Meaning the concept of Hekshe Kalim through Mariku Shtifa, we'll call it Agola for our purposes, with regard to Kli Cheres is totally inapplicable. Fi'od, and secondly, not only is it bad enough that the Rambam applies Mariku Shtifa to a Kli Cheres in the case of Shlomim, but furthermore, the Rambam seems to assume that Mariku Shtifa is Dafka B'Ekev Achila. The Raivin holds that Osa Mariku Shtifa Dafkali Acharzmani Suro. Ah. Okay, so here the Rav adds something that we didn't have over here. What does the Rambam actually mean by Ekev Achila? So we thought that the Rambam means by Ekev Achila that he has to get rid of the Belia. And the Raivin says we're not talking about Belia here, we're talking about the mitzvah of Mariku Shtifa as a mitzvah in Kodshim. In kli shebishtash bishlam kachim, and that only applies after the zman achila has terminated. Rav Salvechik understands the ekev achila a little bit differently than we did. He says that ekev achila means that before it becomes nosar, and this is very strange. Bishleim, according to the Raivin, if you're talking about a mitzvah Mariku Shtifa, it makes sense that mitzvah is generated by the Sheim Nosar, which means Liachar Zman Achila. That's what the Raivin quoted from the Sugya. The Rambam, on the other hand, comes to the exact opposite conclusion, that the mitzvah Mariku Shtifa Dafka should be Chal before it becomes Nosar. That's called Ekev Achila. Ekev Achila, he's interpreting to be within the time allotment for Achila. Right? So, for example, Chatas could be eaten for one day, and then Shlomim could be eaten for 2 days. So the Rambam is saying that before you get to that, you know, to ring the bell, you know, that to terminate that opinion, that time allotment, that's when you do Mariku Shtifa. Now, at this point in the discussion, the Rav wants to introduce a chiddush from Reb Chaim. The author of this book claims that he actually found that, you know, outside of Yeshiva University, they know about this Reb Chaim. And that appears in a sefer called Miginzei Agrach. Now, the honest truth is, I'm very skeptical about this book called Miginzei Agrach. I think a lot of Miginzei Agrach is based on Rav Soloveitchik Shiur, but again, you know, whatever, I don't want to get into politics here, but I certainly can convince you beyond the shadow of a doubt that Rav was totally unaware of this book called Miginzei Agrach. You know, so if he heard it, he got it straight from his father, Ich hab gehelt von Tate, nomen from Chaim, you know. Oh, Rav Chaim wanted to add a whole new element into understanding the Rambam Shita. The Gemara tells us in Psachim that Kli Cheres Eino Yotze Midei Daf Yol Yolam. And the question now becomes, and we touched on this question, how is it possible that the Rambam applies Mariku Shtifa in the case of Shlomim to a Kli Cheres? I mean, what good is it? You know, it seems like an exercise of futility that the Torah would command us to do Marika, which is the goal of which is to get rid of the Blia, in a Kli Cheres. I mean, a Kli Cheres, forget it. You know, it'll never spit forth, it's so absorbed into the porous nature of the earthenware. So the Rav quotes Reb Chaim, who says the following, that the Rambam has a very unique shita about Mariku Shtifa. This has nothing to do with the Kli Cheres. I mean, Reb Chaim is going to apply this logic and this principle of the Rambam to a Kli Cheres. The Rambam shita is that Marika is only meaningful in a case of what's called Hetera Bola. So again, let me just say as a footnote, and what I'm about to say is, you know, don't accept it, you know, don't fetishkaf. But the problem with Marika is that Marika causes Plato, but what happens is that after it's niflat, it goes back into the Kli. So it's like, it seems like it's bouncing back and forth. But if it's a case of Hetera, then when you have a Blia of Hetera, it doesn't generate an Isur, even if later on there's reason for it to generate an Isur. But if the original Blia, the Shasa Blia, was Hetera Bola, like we'll talk a lot about the Mitzvah Shem Dogim Shalom Akara. So what happens is that this Kara was used to cook Fleshiks in it, and now the Tom of Blia in the Fleshiks goes into the fish when you cook the fish in the pot. So that's called Hetera Bola. You can never take this Tom that's a Tom of head there and say that even though at the moment of Blia it was Heter, right? There's no Iser in Blias Basar in Dogim. Dogim can be eaten with Basar. Yeah. I'm not talking about the health issue, but anyway. So that now you're going to take the fish and eat it with Milchiks, and now the Hetera Bola, which at the time of the moment of Blia was Heter, all of a sudden it upgrades itself to the level of Iser. So the Rambam holds the following, that the efficacy of Marika applies to the case of Hetera Bola. V'sover Rambam de Hetera Bola Mahanya Hagola Af B'Kli Cheres. Okay, now Rav Chaim is saying Chidushim over here. What we know from the Rambam is that there's a concept called Hagola. And that concept called Hagola, says the Rambam, is the unique Chiddush of the Rambam, is identified with the concept of Hetera Bola. So what happens is, you do Hagola in a Kli, let's say for example you have a Fleshik a Kli, and you do Hagola in a Fleshik a Kli, then the water of that Hagola now absorbs the Tam of Basar, or whatever it might be, Cholov or Basar, it doesn't matter, but that's a Tam of Hetera. And that Tam of Hetera can never become Asar. Why? Because that's called Hetera Bala. So Rav Chaim wants to take the Rambam one step further, and he wants to apply the principle of Hetera Bala, as far as Marika is concerned, to the case of a Kli Cheres. In other words, although the Gemara tells us that Kli Cheres ein yotze midei dafyo liolam, that's only because the Kli Cheres was bolea. What kind of a Tam? Tam Yisur. But let's say the Kli Cheres was bolea Tam of Heter. In such a case, the general mechanics of Hagola will be efficient, even in the case of a Kli Cheres. Why? Because Hagola is able to remove a weak Tam if that Tam is a Tam de Hetera. So let's say, for example, we talk about shlomim. So the Rambam is going to say that, let's say you cook the shlomim in a Kli Cheres. The Kli Cheres is now included, as surprising as that sounds, in the parsha of Hagola. How could that be? The Gemara says, "Psachim eni yotzim v'deidof yoliolim." The answer is, all the Rambam wants to achieve through this Hagola is to get out the Hetera Bala. And therefore the Rambam is going to add the principle of Ton, I'm sorry, not Ton, but the Ekev Achila. What does the Ekev Achila mean? Within the allotted time to eat what? To eat the Shlomim, and now the time of the Shlomim is called what? Hetera. Right? Hetera Bala. And the Rambam Shita is that Hetera Bala works universally in all cases of Hagola, even in the case of a Kli Cheres. So now the Rambam has a problem. Well, if Hetera Bola is going to operate in the case of a Kli Cheres, should Nisbashel Bo Shlomim, why not apply the same principle to Nisbashel Bo Chatos? Because we're within that, let's say, half a day period of time in which he's allowed to eat the Chatos, which is called the Ekev Achila. So why would we require breaking? Why does the Torah say you have to take the Kli Cheres, Nisbashel Bo Chatos, and you have to break it, Shvira? The answer is, says the Rambam, that's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. That's where the Rambam adds the condition of Azara. The Torah was mechayev us to take a Kli Cheres, in the case of Chatos, and break it. Ton Shvira. And wear b'makom kodosh, in a holy place. So that's what the Rav heard in the name of Rav Chaim. Now, on the one hand, Rav Chaim has projected us a million miles, forward, because he's now explained what the Rambam means by Ekev Achila, which is a very strange halacha. That all of a sudden, the Rambam is telling me that within the time allotment period, we have to do the Marikus Shtifa. Why should that be? On the contrary, what generates Marikus Shtifa is the Shem Nosar, and therefore, as the Rambam insists, it's not totally in Ekev Achila, but rather in Zman Achila. And secondly, how could the Rambam validate Marikus Shtifa with regard to a Kli Cheres? That's against the Gemara Pesachim. So the Rav Chaim has answered both of those questions. Number one, he's told us that this Rambam has to be seen in the context, a greater context of the Rambam Sheet about how Marikus Shtifa works. And it's all based on a principle of Tera Bola. That principle applies even to the case of a Kli Cheres. Hence, we can understand how the Rambam validates Marikus Shtifa in the case of a Kli Cheres and his Bashlu Ba Shlomim. Now we can also understand why the Rambam insists that it's got to be the Ekev Achila before the time allotment has passed. And the answer is because the Rambam wants to establish Hetera Bola. The Rambam now has another question that he has to ask himself. What about in the case of a Kli Cheres and his Bashal Bachatos? Why does the Torah require Shvira? Why not say Be'ekev Achila, since within the time allowance, it's Hetera Bola, and allow you to simply do Marika? And the answer is that that's a separate mitzvah of Shvira, which applies to a Kli Cheres. Says Rav Soloveitchik, we're not out in the clear yet. We've made a great deal of progress here in this Rambam, but we're still stuck. Why is that? When the Torah declares that Kli Cheres ein yotzim v'deidof yoliolam, That seems to be a principle that reflects the mechanics, so to speak, or the regulations that apply to Blia. Well, very strange. The source for that halacha in Psachim of Eini Yotzei Midei Dofyo in the case of Kli Cheres is the mitzvah of Shvira. Well, the mitzvah of Shvira, the Rambam says, has nothing to do with Blia. On the contrary, as far as the Kli Cheres is concerned, in and of itself, Marikus Shtifa would have been fine. Narvas, the Torah was mitzvah, the Torah commanded us, in a separate mitzvah of Shvira, b'makom kadosh, and that applies only to what? Only to a chatas. Yeah, there's no reason logically to differentiate between a chatas and a shlamim as far as Dine Bliya is concerned. So let's read this inside. He says, Adayin Kosha. Ta'ach Dina, da Torah he'ida al kli cheres, she'ena yotze v'dei dofyo li'olam, yalfina la gufa v'imai delo mahanyu mariku shtifa l'kli cheres. And the Torah required Shvira. Why? Why not just do Marika Shtifa? The answer is Marika Shtifa will not successfully remove the Bliya. But if we're going to say that no, in Shara Kodshim, in the case of Shlomo, the Rambam recognizes and validates the Marika Shtifa, even in the case of a Kli Cheres, it means that Marika Shtifa is effective to remove the Bliya. Just that in Chatos is an exception because the Torah, we'll call it Xeris HaKosiv, requires that we do Shvira as a separate mitzvah in Chatos. You know, makes all the very unique mitzvahs in Chatos. There are many unique mitzvahs that apply to Chatos. One is that we take the Kalish and Isvashim HaChatos and we break it in a Makom Kadosh. How does that prove that the Kli Cheres is a Yotzim in Dof Yoliola? In other words, there's a crossing of a crossbreeding here, an illegitimate crossbreeding, because we're overlapping now Bliya with Dine Mitzvah in Kodshin. The requirement of Shmira, according to the Rambam, clearly has nothing to do with Bliya. If it had to do with Bliya, then it would apply to Shlomim as well as it applies to Chatos. Nor what? There's a halacha of Shmira, which is a separate mitzvah in Karma Chatos. That could not in any way teach us or serve as a source for the halach of Bliya that clean. So for example, Rabosa, let's say you cooked the nevela in a kli cheres. So the Gemara says, Ipsachim, take the kli and get rid of it. There's nothing you can do, right? Lo yolo klu. Why? Because Hatorah Yidna. Where's that Torah either? For the Pasha Shvira? The Rambam says that's a Mezunder Halach in Korban Chatos. And it's part of the mitzvah of Kodshim. And it has to be done in Hamakom Kodosh. But if you ask the Rambam, would Mariko Shtifa be meaningful for a Kli Cheres? The answer is absolutely yes. And all right, the Rambam says that's what you're going to do with the Korban Shlomim. So the Rav at this point feels compelled to go beyond Rav Chaim. Again, it's all based on an oral tradition of Reb Chaim, so we don't know exactly what Reb Chaim said, what he didn't say, but Reb Chaim is not, you know, in baseball terms, he didn't take us all around the bases. Oh. So Reb Salvation wants to add a whole new embellishment to what Reb Chaim's interpretation of the Rambam. Well, I was hoping to get to Caleb and Pesach today, but I don't think the time, I'm not sure, I don't want to talk about Nosa, but I don't think we're going to get into the time allotment. So he says the following. The Rambam must have held that although Hagola, by Marika, is meaningful in the case of a Kli Cheres, but let's not misunderstand it. What it means is that Hagolah is meaningful to remove what we call a belia of a tam chamur as opposed to a tam kolsh. Meaning that Marika to Kli Cheres can reduce the level, so to speak, if you had a decimal system of weighing exactly how profound or how sharp is the original tam, so that Marika to Kli Cheres is not going to really do the job thoroughly, because Eni Yotzei V'Dei Dofyo, it could only convert a tam gomur into a tam kolush, into a weak tam, which is going to help us in the case of hetera bola, which is called ekev achila in the Rambam's language. And how did the Rambam come to that conclusion? How did the Rambam know that when the Torah allows Mariku Shtifa to Klicheres, for example, in the case of Shlomim, it's not a complete, total removal of the Bliya? We know this from the mitzvah of Shvira. What does it mean that you take a Kli that was used to cook Chatos, and it's a Klicheres, and now the Torah says, destroy it? What do you mean? Because this what does it have, a criminal history to it? Yesterday you used it for a kli, you know, for chatos. That doesn't make any sense, because in the meantime, between yesterday and today, you took this kli and you did Mariku Shtifa. In other words, you did agola in this kli. If we assume, again, let's argue opposite position, right? If you would assume, we'll call it the process of elimination. If you assume that Mariku Shtifa and a Kli Cheres is meaningful and it can remove the entire tam, so the Kli Cheres should is bashal b'chatos, how can the Torah say break the Kli? What, does this Kli have a criminal record? Well, what's the aver in this Kli? They used it once for Kli Chatos? Who cares? The only possibility of rationally justifying the mitzvah of Shvira is you must assume that the Tam Chatos is still Balua in the Kli. Which means that the Mariku Shtifa, with all due respect, does not do a complete job. Tzorach lomar da'yidei Hagola ain kol atama Balua yotzei mikli cheres. You can never actually use Hagola as your method to totally purge the Kli, in a case of a Kli cheres, of its Tam Balua. What we're left with is a Tam Kolosh. And again, a Tam Kolosh would certainly be good enough for us, if not for the Torah and the mitzvah of Shvira. Why? Because it's Hetera Bala. Correct? Because the Rambam is assuming Ekev Achilu, we're still within the time allowment.
For Nosa.
So it has to become a Chefetz di Surah, and therefore Tam Kolosh is not considered a Bliya HaOseres. It could never be a Bliya HaOseres. Again, even though now it's already Nosa, but it's irrelevant. Why? Because that Tam became a Tam Kolosh, and a Tam Kolosh could never generate an Iser. That's the Rambam Shita in Hagol in general. It applies to a Kli Cheres as well. If you can take the Kli Cheres and you can guarantee that the Bliya of that Kli is a Bliya of Hetera Bola, that's fine. So that's called Ekev Achila before it becomes Noser, that's the Rambam's unique Shita. However, now the Torah comes along and says, but if you use that very same Kli to cook Chatos in it, then you have to destroy the Chatos. Why? Why are you destroying a Kli Chatos? Because the Kli Cheres? Who cares? It's a terabola. It's not Nosar. Again, Rabosai, the Rambam Shita is that we're talking before it became Nosar. That's the Ekev Achila. So if it's not Nosar, and then apply the principle of a terabola, Mariku Shtifa should work even in a Kli Cheres. The answer must be that the Torah said that if there's still Epes Geblimin, you know, there's a Shirayim here of a Tam Chatos, it's called a Kli Chatos. And see if you can remember that sentence, because it's going to be very relevant to what we want to do about Caleb Lepesa. It's a Kli Chatos. So the Torah, in its infinite wisdom, divine wisdom, decreed that when you have a Kli Chatos, because it still has a Tam Chatos in it, you have to destroy the Kli. So when the Gemara says in Psachim that from the fact that the Torah requires you to break the Kli Cheres in the case of Chatos, it proves that a Torah either Shei Yotzim Dei Dofyo Liolam, what it means is that the Torah, it would be impossible for the Torah, be unthinkable for the Torah to require Shmira on something that was used for a Kli Cheres, which has no Shirayim, no vestige, no Bliya left of the Tam of Chatos. It must be that there's still a Tam of Chatos is concerned. And if that be the case, that's going to have implications as far as other Isurim are concerned in the case of a Kli Cheres. Now, in the footnote here, he goes into a whole discussion about Tam Kolosh, right, Rav Soloveitchik is operating with this concept called a Tam Kolsh. So there's a whole to-do here about the implications of a Tam Kolsh. But let's get back to Reb Chaim. Now we can understand Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim wants to say that there's a difference between a Kli Cheres with regard to Hetera Bola, like in the case of Ekev Achila, which means within the time limit, as opposed to Isura Bola after the time limit, meaning when it became an Isur Nosa. If the Tchilas Ablia, right, that we have to underline, because that's always going to be the key, is the Tchilas Ablia. If the Tchilas Ablia, the Kli Cheres, meaning when I cooked a carbon in this Kli, and it's a pottery Kli, was Hetera Bola, because at that point the Tam of the Basar is a Tam of Heter. Let the Kohen eat it, let the Israel eat it, in the case of Shlomim. Then he went ahead and he took this Kli, which has a Hetera Bola in it, and he subjected it to Mariku Shtifa. Again, all this before it became Nosar. So what are we left in the Kli? A Tam Kolsh. Right? Because the Mariku Shtifa is not absolute and perfect. Is Mimela, therefore, says Reb Chaim, the way the Rav is interpreting Reb Chaim, Dinu Shaloye Nesar, even though 5 minutes later it became Nosar, it doesn't become awesome. Why? Because you cannot be Mechel Hashem Isar on a Tam Kolsh. That's the principle of Hetera Bola. And the proof text for this is Dogim Sha'olu Bekara, right? That you want to take the taste of basar that's in the fish, because you cook the fish in a milk in a fleshika pot, and now you want to say it's asur when you mix the fish with milchiks. And the Gemara says we don't say such a thing. Why? Because the tam of the basar in the dog is only a tam kolsh, and a tam kolsh can never be subject to the creation, the generation of an Isur, in this case of Basim Achol.
How does the Rav know that the Tom Hefter is a Tom Kolsh? How does he know that maybe the Marika doesn't really have any impact on the Klei Cheres at all?
Right, but then he's in trouble with the case of Shlomim, right? Because the Rambam says in Shlomim, if you subject the Kli Cheres to Mariku Shtifa before Shas Isur Nosa, that's called Ekev Achila, then it's Mutter. It's Mukta Lagamre. How could that be? You take the Kli Cheres from now until Mashiach Tzait and put it into a hot, a boiling pot of hot water. Go to Shkehelfen. I mean, you have a Tam that now becomes Nosar.
But by Shlomim, it's okay.
And it's effective. The Rambam validates that. So that was the whole kash of the Raivin. The Raivin said, how can I accept this Rambam? I object. What are you talking about? Mariku Shtifa, the case of a Kli Cheres? Is any Yotzim they don't feel Yolam? So how could that be meaningful?
It is.
And the answer is because of this new halacha, which Reb Chaim sees in general in the Rambam, called Hetera Bola. So what the Rav defines that, and again, this is all based on the sugya of Nosing Tam Bar Nosing Tam, is that a Tam Kolosh could never become awesome. So what the Mariku Shtifa effectuates is that it takes the Tam and it reduces it to a Tam Kolosh, and now the Tam is a Tam Heter. 5 minutes down the line, it's transformed into Tam Isu because of the Din of Nosar. But within that 5 minutes of time, what you've done is you've taken that Tam and made it into a Tam Kolosh. Once you make it into a Tam Kolosh could never become Osir. It can't generate an Isu. Again, in the case of Chatos, the Torah says you have to bust up this Kli, it's a Kli Cheres, even though, again, Mariku Shtif would be meaningful to remove the Tam and lower it into a status of a Tam Kolush, and it's a Hetera Bola because we're within the time limit for Chatos, but the answer is the Torah said, no, you got to get rid of it. So what does that prove? It proves that there's still going to be a Blia. What kind of Blia? It's a Tam Kolush, but nevertheless, there's still a Blia. And that's going to have tremendous implications elsewhere as far as the use of a Kli Cheres that was Bolea, the Tam of an Isur. Masha'enken, he says, Hecha shebetchilas ha-Blia hoysa be-Isur. If, let's say, at the time of the Blia, it was already an Isur, let's say you took a Kli Cheres and you put Dam and you cooked blood in the Kli Cheres, or Blia Harem Karoseach and all those Dinim, or Kavush Harei Kamevush, or whatever it might be in a Kli Cheres, then the Bli itself, from the get-go, was a Bli's Isur. So even if you'll tell me I'll use Mariku Shtifa on this Kli Cheres and reduce it to a Talmud Kolish, that's irrelevant. Why? Because everything depends upon the Tchilas Ablia. And if the Tchilas Ablia was a Hetera Blia, then a Talmud Kolish and Hetera could never become a Talmud Isur. Mashen can hear the original Blia was Dam, was Isur, and then you could reduce it now to a Talmud Kolish from now till the end of the Golos. It's not going to help you at all. Why? Because the Tchilas Ablia is Koveah whether or not a Talmud Kolish can generate an Isur. Inami gives another... how do you say in English? Hecha Tims, another scenario or so. Hecha Sha'asu Mariku Shtifa Liachar's Mani Surah. Even here in the Rambam in Maisa Korbanis and Kotchi, we'd have this problem. Let's say he waited too many hours, and now the Tam Bolua became a Tam of Isur Nosar. Is therefore, once there's a Chalosh Shem on this Belia of Nosar, then even if you were to convert or transform that Tam Bolua of Isur Nosar into a Tam Kolish, it would be irrelevant, because now the Bliya that you're going to remove through the Marika Shtifa is a Bliya of Isur. And that's not called a Terebola. So when we say that a Tam Kolish cannot generate an Isur, that's only in the case of Hetera, but not in the case of Isura. And we're up now to the last paragraph. We'll see if we can fit this in under the bell. Is according to this, it would seem that the view of the Rambam is that Hagola, in the case of milchiks and fleishiks, should be meaningful even in the case of a kli cheres. Because if you're taking milchiks to fleishiks or vice versa, what are you talking about? A tam de hetera. Came under bebasim b'chalav havi hetera bola. And here the Rav ends with a tzarech yigod. You know, it's up. I would have given him a PhD just for this. But he has a problem. Why? Because in the poskim, for example, in Rebbe Kivegas and Shuvas, is the law is that even though Hagola works for milchiks and fleishiks, but Rebbe Kivegas' conclusion is that it's not so pashut. That, for example, again, that this is an introduction to the next sugya, that chametz, let's say you use a kli during the entire year for cooking chametz, according to many Rishonim, not all, that's called hetera bol, because the whole year round chametz is mutl. Now, the Gemara of Pesachim says that if you cook chametz the whole year round in a kli cheres, forget it, my friend. You cannot use it during Pesach. Yeah, you don't have to destroy it, you have to lock it up, right? So, Frechter of Kiveger, I don't get it. If you assume A, that chametz the whole year round is called hetera bala. B, if you're telling me that even in the case of a kli cheres, hagola is meaningful to reduce it to a tam kolish, and we're assuming that a tam kolish in the case of hetera could never generate an iser, is amai? I'm reading b'psach. Why is Gemara saying the keteros shel cheres with Pesach? You cannot use them, and you cannot subject them to Hagola. The Ran happens to hold that Chometz B'Pesach is called Hetera Bola. I don't remember the Ramban Shita. I think the Ramban also holds that Chometz is Hetera Bola. I think the Rambam also holds Chometz is Hetera Bola.
It's not. I would say it's not.
So the other Rishonim say that since it has a shame chametz even the whole year round. Okay, that's difficult. But in any event, we see from Rabbi Kivega, and he's asking such a stark akash, according to those Rishonim who hold chametz is hetera bola, how do you justify that a kli cheres is not subject to any sort of hechsher? We said that the whole thesis of the Rambam is predicated on the assumption that even a kli cheres is yotzi v'dei dafya, but in a partial sense, it's able to successfully reduce the Tam Balua to a Tam Kolish, and a Tam Kolish never becomes awesome. So therefore, we're in trouble here. So that's where he leaves it as an open-ended question. All right, Rabosai? So we'll take a break from Minka here. I thank you for joining me, and especially those who just got off a plane.